And stay tuned right now for those two characters of many characters, CBS Radio's Bob and Ray.
And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the Bob and Ray Show. And right now, the start of this week, the start of this program, I think, well, we ought to make mention of WFPG in Atlantic City.
Yes, I think you're right, Ray. They're celebrating the 20th year of broadcasting.
Station, that's right, 20 years. Can you imagine that? Now, this CBS radio affiliate is the oldest station in South New Jersey and one of the oldest continuous business organizations in Atlantic City.
So, congratulations from us to WFPG 1450 on your Atlantic City dial.
Just think, 20 years broadcasting.
I remember very well when we went on the air.
You do, Kent? This is Kent Lyle Birdley, folks, the great balloon announcer.
Well, you mentioned that night. You said that I sold balloons at night, but
that's your biggest, isn't it?
They were a good seller, yes, but I had many other items that I sold.
Didn't you sell farmers? Was it clothing of some sort?
Yes, work clothes.
Work clothes.
Dungarees and overalls, and I sold books.
Yeah.
And I sold encyclopedia.
And medicines and things?
All kinds of
everything,
things.
Everything, huh? You certainly are one of the great radio salesmen of all time.
And well-preserved.
Yes, I was going to say that. You remember when WFPG went on the air, I imagine?
Yes, I do, and they've maintained the very highest standard of broadcasting quality ever since.
Good. Okay, thank you.
May we have a fanfare, Pierre, to get to feature number one?
Yes.
It's time for this week's hard-to-believe object. A carrot that looks like a cat's face. And here to tell us about it in detail is the finder of this amazing carrot, Mr. Edwin Hartingale from Peachport, New York, home of the pump. Welcome, Mr. Hartingale.
Well, I'm glad to be here with my carrot.
Well, we are too, sir. And would you hold aloft this week's hard-to-believe object so that our studio audience can see it?
Well, wait a minute. It's pinned to my inside pocket here.
All right. Well, take your time, Mr. Hartingale.
Here she is. A grand-looking vegetable, isn't she?
Certainly is. Certainly is grand-looking, Mr. Hartingale. But isn't it a little shorter than the usual carrot?
Well, I ate some of her on the train.
Oh.
Coming down.
Well, you ate around the cat's face anyway. That's what counts, because we can still see the part of the carrot that's so amazing. Now, tell us, did you find this carrot on your farm, Mr. Hartingale?
No, I found her in a supermarket.
And could you describe the circumstances, sir?
Well, about a month ago, I was in the supermarket, and this lady was there with her little boy.
In the supermarket.
That's right. Well, anyway...
Oh, hey, don't put the carrot back in your pocket, sir.
All right. Well, I was in the meat department, which is about 40 feet away from the vegetable department.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was in the meat department, this lady and a little boy were in the vegetable department.
40 see. Feet away.
That's about it. Well, give or take 7 feet.
I see.
Just as I was about to pick up some lamb chops, and so I got some ground meat, too.
Uh-huh.
This little boy over in the vegetable department hollered, "Hey, Mom, here's a carrot that looks like a cat's face."
Well, I guess you shot right over from the meat department, didn't you?
Right, I rushed over and I kind of elbowed the kid aside, and I grabbed this particular carrot you see me holding here.
Did you hurt the little boy when you elbowed him aside?
No, but the boy's mother was a little bit put out. She dropped a large can of liquid detergent on my foot.
Well, I guess you felt that the carrot was something worth fighting for.
That's right. You don't get anything for free in this life, as you know.
The real story, Mr. Hardingale, is in what happened when you elbowed the little boy aside. Would you tell us that interesting feature of the story, please?
Well, when I pushed him, he went reeling into some celery laying on the counter. And he came up with a piece of celery that looked exactly like a green wooden slat.
And last week, the Hard to Believe Committee passed on the celery. They judged it an even more exciting find than that carrot that you have
That's
there.
That's right. And the boy and his celery got an A2 rating from the committee. And my carrot was only B5.
Although a B5 rating is one of our lowest, Mr. Edwin Hardingale, it was still good enough to get you here on this week's Hard to Believe show. Thank you, sir. Celebrity snapshot time, right?
Yeah. Celebrity snapshot. Tonight's guest, Giles Stickler, assistant director. Excuse me, take the microphone. Assistant director of CBS Radio's daytime drama, Whispering Streets.
Hello, Ray.
Evening, Mr. Stickler. Come again there?
Say hello. Hello.
Oh, I wonder if you could tell us something about how you put Whispering Streets together each day.
Okay, if I just write it down, you can read it for the folks. Got laryngitis.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Wouldn't you rather come back some evening when you can talk to us, though, or John?
Yeah, that would be better.
Gee, how'd you pick up such a bad case of laryngitis you have there? How'd you do it?
I yelled at the cast this morning.
Let's see.
What is the word martinet means? One of the actors called me that.
Well, we'll look it up sometime.
I'll remember, folks.
Well, let me take that, right?
Mm. All right.
Makes me nervous here if you talk. Whispering Streets, absorbing daytime drama. Each Monday through Friday here on CBS Radio. Bob, I want to help out take this last piece there.
Sure. Oh, yes. Whispering Streets.
All right, no, forget it.
That's
right.
You start it.
Okay. Now then, let's see what's next.
Biff Burns.
Oh, hi, Biff.
Once again, this is Biff Burns greeting you from the Biff Burns Sports Room and ready to fire away a few sports questions at another sports great. In this case, the plucky little pitcher, the ambidextrous pitcher that the Sox just received in the trade you probably read about over the weekend, Randy McGee. Randy, it's a pleasure
My wife loves your theme. She wanted me to know, wanted me to find out what the name of that march is. I love it myself. Dum da dum dum dum.
Our march theme, Randy, for you and your wife and anyone else who wonders, is called Sporting You.
What is it called? Sporting?
Sporting You.
Wonderful. It's real catchy. I like it quite a bit.
Now, Randy, I want to fire away a few quick questions at you because, of course, we're all excited about the big trade. Do you think you're going to be able to make the grade with the Sox?
Well, of course, I can't tell. I hope so, and unfortunately, I'm having to take a little drop in salary this year. But
that's what I understood.
I think coming to a new team like this is always a challenge, Biff, and I think that it'll make me work harder and get some of this lard off.
Tell me this: does the fact that you're ambidextrous present any particular problems to you when you're out there on the mound?
Well, I don't know. Well, the problems exist for me, for the catcher, for the batter, for the umpire, because I don't make up my mind which hand I'm going to throw with till after my windup. See, I go up and I bring both arms up over my head and put my foot on the rubber, and then right then is when I decide whether to throw with my left hand or my right hand.
Well, it should make it make the catcher pretty jumpy, too, I should imagine, as well as the batter.
Here's a nervous wreck, and of course the batter doesn't take a toehold because, fortunately, I've hit several of them last year.
Doesn't know which side it's coming from. How about your fielding? Is that easy for you?
Well, there again, being ambidextrous and throwing with either hand negates the possibility of wearing a glove, you know, so I'm out there and I can't feel very good, and I get a lot of line drives right back in the midsection and some in the head area.
I
chin up.
That's what I heard. I certainly hope that you do make out all right.
See, after I pitch, I'm kind of off balance, and I mean, I could really get tagged by one of those.
Well, I've seen you kind of staggering around out there on the mound, and I wasn't quite sure just what the reason was.
You remember last 4th of July? I mean, I really caught one. That big first baseman on some team, I forget. That's another thing. My memory is shot now because of that.
Well, you got it right in the teeth, if I remember.
I did.
The particular game you're thinking of.
That's right.
Well, now listen, for all of the youngsters tuned in, do you have some advice on how they could grow up and become an ambidextrous pitcher?
Well,
you've got
to go
yourself
to bed. And now, be my advice, Lou.
The kids, yeah.
Yeah. And I'd say that to be a pitcher, though, to either make up their mind now as a kid to either be left or right-handed. They'll thank me for that advice. They won't find themselves stopping a line drive with their teeth.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure having you here, Randy, and from Biff Burns' fourth room until
next
time.
There goes that thing of them. Dee-dum-dum-dum.
This is Biff Burns saying so long.
Say, Kent?
Yes, Ryan?
Kent Birdley, the great salesman working for Grove now with the word for pitch.
Well, Ray, I don't know whether I should do the entire thing. I thought we might do it as a two-man announce job.
Well, I'm not used to working with another man, but if you want, I'll be delighted.
I'll start it off, and then I'll tap you on the shoulder, as we did in the old days of radio.
Well, you don't have to tell me. Just kind of wink. I mean, I'll know when it comes in.
Dandruff bothers most men, and most women, too, so listen. I was tapping on the shoulder.
Well, I thought you were going to do half.
Oh, all right. Today, you can get rid of embarrassing dandruff in just 3 minutes. Yes, with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. And that's not all. Using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away.
Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute, and all that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. Take it.
In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, and dandruff's gone. Never forget, gentle Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. Get rid of
dandruff and dandruff problems forever and brighten your hair, too. Use Fitch regularly.
Regularly.
Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents. I remember that's why I stopped working with other announcers. They always seem to be saying the same thing I was saying.
Well, I always make a point of reading along with the...
With the other man.
With the other team member of the...
Bit disconcerting. Who are some of those famous fellows you worked with on that station over the border years ago?
Well, you probably remember Cecil Smedley.
Oh, I certainly do now.
Cecil went out to Sioux City some months ago and been doing very well out there.
Is that so? That's right, Cecil. I hadn't thought of him in years.
He was a good kitchen gadget man.
That's right. That's right. He sold more vegetable slices, I think, than any other nighttime announcer.
Slicers, dicers, and pairers, things like that.
Didn't he nick himself several times, though, doing a live demonstration?
Yes, he did, but he was very quick-witted. Whenever he'd do that, he'd pick up a Harvard beat and continue the demonstration with that.
That's right. He could buffalo the folks looking. It's a very good idea.
That's right.
So, Well, I was just reminiscing here. You remember Kent Bradley, Kent Lyle Bradley.
I just came in to tell you we're not going to have time again for Mr. Plummer, the handwriting expert.
Well, we didn't have time for him last week.
No, he's...
He has to go home. He's staying at the hotel much too long now. I mean, it's becoming ridiculous. I know he's bored sitting around the lobby.
Sure he is. Lyle, it's nice to see you. Thanks, Bob. And speaking of good salesmen, we'll have a word from one in just 10 seconds.
The way you used to say it. So long, me doodle do, folks.
That's right.
Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to ride if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
is the CBS Radio Network.
This is San Francisco, KCBS AM-FM. March 7th is the birthday of Luther Burbank. The Sage of Santa Rosa was a pioneer.
Tonight, in a manner of speaking, that's Frank Chatfield and his music there in the background. Bill Hayward here, inviting you to stay tuned now for the news with Wally King and then the Jim Sparrow Show till midnight tonight. We'll be back again tomorrow afternoon with the Canute Club at 4. We'll see you then.
The sound of the city, haunting at their home in San Francisco.
And here's Wally King with a word on what's new.
KSFO News, the 8 o'clock report, brought to you by the Bakers of Wholesome Bread. In San Francisco today, Carl Chessman lost another bid for freedom when the appeals court here turned down his request for a stay of execution. And back in Washington, one of his attorneys, Rosalie Asher, said she plans to present new appeals to the U.S. Supreme Court the first thing tomorrow morning. Quoting her, "We will try every possible avenue still open to us in the Supreme Court, but if her efforts are unsuccessful," she added, "I don't see anything left." Meanwhile, if the convicted rapist is executed on schedule next Friday morning, he'll go to the gas chamber alone. Donald L. Cash, a Southern California murderer who was to be executed at the same time as Chessman, received a 30-day reprieve today from Governor Brown. The governor issued the reprieve in order that the condemned man may get further psychiatric examination. It was on his third swing today that Cash got the reprieve. Earlier, the California Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court rejected petitions for a...
Francisco, the right time to have some fun. Here on the Night Watch, the Night Watch on Radio 61.
Hi, this is George Crowell introducing Budweiser's bestsellers on Night Watch. You know, where there's life, there's Budweiser. It's a mark of good taste. And with your good taste in beer, here's to your good taste in music for the next 3 hours on Night Watch.
So enjoy every minute. The best things in life are for you. Life is great, so live it. And enjoy.
With ice cold Pepsi, that's how to be sociable.
To Tokyo and Hong Kong Zoo, to the Orient,
fly
Northwest.
Fly Northwest Orient Airlines to Tokyo, Manila, and other great Orient cities. You'll fly the straight line shortcut. Save 767 miles on the route Northwest has flown 10,000 times. Thrifty tourist or imperial service, daily. Call your travel agent or
Northwest Orient.